going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Impeachment may be dominating the news, but believe it or not, there is a Democratic presidential campaign going on, and the next debate among the candidates is this week. Meanwhile, Pete Buttigieg rises in Iowa, Elizabeth Warren backtracks on Medicare for All, sort of, and Barack Obama warns Democrats against promoting too radical an agenda in a presidential election. Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal. And I'm here with my running mates, Bill McGurn. How are you, Bill?
Hey, Paul.
And Kim Strassel. Hello, Kim.
Hello, Paul.
We're going to take a break from impeachment for today. No doubt we will be dragged back in, just like Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. But in this conversation, let's talk about the Democratic presidential race and the latest debate going on. Lots been going on behind the scenes, even if it's not getting much attention in public. And let's talk about a couple of those things. One is the backtracking by Elizabeth Warren on Medicare for All. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, Kim, she made a detailed proposal of how she would finance Medicare for All, included many tax increases, including a lot more detail than Bernie Sanders has ever provided for his Medicare for All plan. But it was roundly criticized, not just on the right, but also on the left for its political vulnerability and its implausibility. And now, last Friday, she has come back and said, well, I won't introduce Medicare for All right away. I'll do it in my third year as president of the United States. And in the first year, we will pass something on Medicare, including a public option. But she will wait on Medicare for All. And my own view of her statement, Kim, is this is an admission it's never going to happen on her term, because no president says, I'm going to wait for the third year to do it. And really does accomplish it. Rarely do you get anything done in that year, especially something that large as Medicare for All.
Yeah, it's also an admission that she made a big mistake here. And you have to look at how we got to this point. Remember, this is the candidate who's been running on an agenda of bragging that she has a plan for everything. And a while ago, some people noticed that the one glaring omission to that was that she had no plan for what to do with healthcare. And under enormous amounts of pressure, she suddenly comes out with this sweeping agenda of a Medicare for All. It's far more detailed, as you said, than even Bernie Sanders, and also amazingly, eye-poppingly expensive. And she brought out a whole bunch of experts who attested to the soundness of the plan. But a lot of other experts immediately jumped on, even from the left, and pointed out that it was really based on truly rosy expectations, that the cost was just prohibitive. And you'd seen that reflected a little bit in the polls. She seems to have stalled out there, as a lot of folks in the Democratic Party wondered if this just made her way too vulnerable, that even if she won the primary, if this would just load her with too much baggage and make her too big of a target for Donald Trump. So she was losing a little elevation. Now suddenly she comes back out with this shift again. We will see if it does her any good, because it's a little bit late, and it's not very Elizabeth Warren-y in that she's now looks to be changing her minds and her plans based on political calculations.
Yeah, I agree with that, Paul. You know, generally the consensus is when you enter a job as executive of your state or of the United States, you try to do everything as quickly as you can to use your capital. Mitch Daniels once explained that as governor of Indiana, he said that the wisdom's contained in a country song called "If I Shot You When I Should Have, I'd Be Out of Jail by Now." So Elizabeth Warren is going in the exact opposite direction. And look, she's under it. actually, to me, quite surprising attack. Not only you expect the other candidates to attack her, right, and you expect Joe Biden to say this is too expensive, I have the more moderate path, but I think it is alarming for Democrats, some of the billionaires, some of the people that they might expect otherwise to fund their campaigns, have not only opposed her but opposed her so publicly. So I don't know whether it'll sink her, but clearly in the next debate, it's going to be an issue. And, you know, whether she can answer persuasively and confidently is a big question.
One of her selling points has been, I'm not a faint heart like these other people. And unless you make the argument and fight for it, you're not going to get it. This walk back, relatively modest as it is, strikes me as off message on that point.
It also kind of suggests she doesn't have the plan, right? That it's not, she didn't expect this. Because again, to your point, if you compare this to Bernie, he's always said all along, okay, we're going to have this and your taxes are going to go up for everyone, but you're going to be better off. He doesn't shy away from the hard trade-offs, which is why he's largely escaped the criticism that she's been getting. She looks like she wants to have it both ways.
That's my point. And that's why I wonder if, in fact, in the debate, Bernie could simply say, well, I'm not backing away from this. This is the core of my agenda, and maybe erode some of that allure that that Warren has had, because she says, I have a plan for everything and I'm going to fight for it. And on the other hand, I don't think the modifications she's making here and the timing of this is going to at all appease Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar and others, who are going to say, well, you're still proposing Medicare for all. You're still proposing to take away private health insurance from 170 million Americans. So this strikes me as a continuation of the problems that she has gotten herself into by, I think, probably rather thoughtlessly adopting the Bernie agenda on Medicare for all without really knowing what the implications would be politically.
Yeah, her problem came all the way back at that first debate when she just threw her hand up in the air and said, I'm with Bernie on Medicare for all. And if you'd looked at what she had done up until then, she'd been very careful. And I think it was the reason that Elizabeth Warren didn't put out a plan on this for so long. And it was because, as she kept saying, well, we want to get to Medicare for all, but there are many different paths for getting there. And she always left it open that maybe it would be a transition, maybe something would come. And the reason she did this is because she didn't want to get smacked around like Bernie on the tax question, right? So she didn't want to have to say, if I'm going to implement this plan, it means taxes on middle-class Americans are going to go up. It's the only way to pay for it. Now, as Bill mentioned, Bernie's been honest about that. But since she's running more of the populist campaign, she just refused. She kept getting asked in the debate, isn't it the case that middle-class taxes are going to go up? She refused to say that, refused to say this. And then she was so proud when she finally put out her plan saying, look, I don't raise taxes on middle-class Americans. The problem was that the math that she had to do and the taxes that she had to impose on everything else was so wild that it really opened her up to a lot of legitimate criticism and attacks. And she's still trying to have it all ways here.
We're talking about the Democratic presidential campaign and the upcoming debate, and you're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
Your Money Briefing will explore what you need to know to become a homeowner and how to sustain your home by learning ways to manage the costs from unexpected expenses.
You're basically always in a state of checking. You're always keeping your eye open for anything that could be going wrong with your house. Your house is a complicated machine. It has a lot of systems and components in it, and those systems and components are getting older. They're wearing out.
You can get early access to our series, Buying a Home and Keeping It, on WSJ Special Access, only for WSJ subscribers.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kim Strassel and Bill McGurn. And related to our conversation about Elizabeth Warren and Medicare for All, Barack Obama, former two-term president of the United States, easily the most popular Democrat in the country, still after he has left office, came out on late last week on Friday and said that Democrats have to be careful with offering too much change in the presidential election, because he said that voters American voters do want some forward-looking agenda, but they are wary of blowing up the whole system. And I thought that that was an implicit rebuke, Bill, of the Warren agenda and of the Sanders agenda and the idea that you want to take away, for example, he didn't mention it, but 170 million private health insurance policies. And he said, you know, you need to be able to propose something that is incremental. So Obamacare was one thing. Build on that. Don't go in terms of blowing up the whole system and a government takeover. Voters won't buy it or they'll be reluctant to buy it. A striking intervention. It wasn't an endorsement of Joe Biden, his former vice president, but it was about as close as you're going to get from a Barack Obama.
Yeah, I'm a little more cynical about it because I think what he's saying is absolutely correct. Don't sell this huge transformational thing. And remember, he campaigned, there's no blue America, there's red America. I think what he's really saying, campaign in these modest, moderate tones. And then once you get in there, do whatever the hell you want and throw it all out and upend all these rules and so forth. But that is the smart way to do it, right? To
not scare people. You can keep your health care plan. If you like your health care plan, you can keep it.
Oh, that's mean.
that famous plan. Kim, I think the advice is, I think Elizabeth Warren is going to be asked about this and should be asked about this if the moderators at the debate have their wits about them. It's a central element of how you're going to defeat, whether or not, which way you go to defeat Donald Trump.
Well, let's see if the moderators actually go there. I don't hold a lot of hope in that regard, Paul. But just in terms of Barack Obama's comments, look at the subject we were just discussing, which was Medicare for All. You know, back when Barack Obama was instituting this sweeping new agenda for healthcare, which really was the most radical thing the American public had ever seen, his administration made a conscious decision not to even go for the public option because they felt that that would be a bridge too far with voters. We're not that far along from that date. And yet we now have candidates, every single Democratic candidate there is already out in favor of the public option. And then you have several more that are advocating getting rid of health care for everyone, private health care for everyone in the country. That is a radical agenda. And just his pointing it out, it is very sound advice. But it's notable to me that the most progressive president that we've ever had in this country felt the need to tell his party to slow down.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. Let's talk about the Pete Buttigieg experience, as James Freeman, our colleague, put it in his rather wittily in his column headline. Mayor South Bend, gaining rather markedly in Iowa. He is now the leader in the Des Moines Register poll, a highly credible poll. It's been quite accurate in the past and about the Iowa caucuses, and now he is the front runner. He has surpassed Biden and Bernie and Elizabeth Warren. And so there's got to be something going on out there. Also, his fundraising has been really, really good. Nationally, he's running about 8%, but he's now the clear front runner in the Des Moines poll. And I think has to be considered as a serious player, Bill, for the nomination. We're still a long way out, but I still think he is somebody who's certainly could win.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Real Clear Politics averages, and you made a point in our editorial meeting earlier. Buttigieg is still fourth in the national polls, 8.3%, but in Iowa, he's number one in 21%, right? So that can change. You win Iowa, all of a sudden you are a real candidate, and it changes a lot of the, and it will affect the other national polls down the road.
And the succeeding contests, right, in New Hampshire, Nevada, South Carolina.
He's basically taken the place of Kamala Harris, you know, who is trailing at four and so forth as a serious candidate. Look, he has a couple of pluses. He has military background. He speaks well on stage. I don't agree with most of what he says.
He's articulate.
I think his record is terrible, but he speaks well and presents himself well on stage. I think he's enjoyed something of a honeymoon because when they think he really might get the brass ring, I think the attacks are going to come out. You already see some of it. You know, Amy Klobuchar said that no woman with experience as thin as his would be on that stage. I think there's a lot of resentment up there. Some of it may be over his fundraising prowess, you know, where he's very good. And it'll be interesting at this debate to see when you rise, as Elizabeth Warren found out, you get attacked.
Well, and the Amy Klobuchar intervention is important because, Kim, she has always thought of herself as a Minnesota senator as having a real chance in Iowa to make a breakthrough. She has a certain Midwest sensibility that would work, you would think, in Iowa. She's trying to operate in the same lane, which is a more centrist lane within the party, not off in Warren and Sanders land, and yet as an alternative to Joe Biden. So Mayor Pete, with his rise, is really taking some of the support that she had hoped to get to rise in the last couple of months in Iowa. So I would expect to see Klobuchar maybe go after Pete in the days ahead.
Yeah, I would almost count on that because he is crowding her out. She made a determination early on in her campaign that she was going to follow the Iowa strategy and really try to capitalize on her greater name ID there and use it to catapult her into a better position nationally. I think where she has struggled and where Mayor Pete is outshining her is he has received so much national attention that it has really allowed him to fundraise like crazy. And then he has taken that money, and in the same way she had the same intention, he's been pouring it into Iowa, buying up more than $2 million worth of TV spots since September. I think he's had nearly 4,000 spots on the air. That is clearly translating into something in the state. The one caveat I would offer here, and it's not just the national polls, but if we had another poll out just recently about South Carolina, which is the third in the country, and it's Quinnipiac poll. Biden there gets 22% of the white vote, and Buttigieg gets 11%. But then listen to this number. Biden gets 44% of the black vote, and Buttigieg gets zero. And I'm not missing a number there, zero. And he has got a
problem.
You
can track down
a
few individuals, I'm sure, somewhere in the state who are for Pete.
Maybe somewhere. But he does have a big issue with minorities, which do make up a significant portion of the Democratic electorate. There was a Telemundo poll from October of nationwide showing he got 2% of the Hispanic vote nationwide. So, you know, you can do well in Iowa, but at a certain point, you also have to translate back. That's got to translate to other states. And right now, he has some big issues.
Well, excellent points. But Pete is saying, look, if I can go to the front in Iowa, that will galvanize media attention and perhaps catapult me into a serious person in New Hampshire if you win New Hampshire and then Nevada. Before you go to South Carolina, you can go in there with a real head of steam. Now, people who have won Iowa have faltered before. Howard Dean comes to mind as one. But on the other hand, all of the recent Democratic presidents or the people who've won the nomination have done very well in Iowa. I mean, Al Gore won Iowa, for example. Barack Obama won Iowa. And Hillary Clinton, the last time, if I'm not mistaken, won Iowa. So you have Iowa's and John Kerry. No, did he win Iowa or not? Yes, he did. He did win Iowa. So in 2004. So that catapulted them to the nomination. So I wouldn't underestimate the importance of a Mayor Pete win in Iowa.
I think you're right, Paul, and that's clearly his strategy. But I do think that he's benefited from people not taking a hard look at his record yet because he hasn't really been quite as threatening until very recently. And Kim points out he has zero African-American support. Not only that, he has a Black Lives Matter problem back in his home city. Shootings are up and so forth. And so forth. It heated up in the summer and then it receded. But I think if he becomes
serious
that people think he'll get it, this is going to activate a lot of those people with protests. There'll be people, there'll be reporters, New York Times reporters in South Bend and so forth, to look at his actual record to see if that's really where this country wants to go.
And finally, one other development in the Democratic presidential race. Mike Bloomberg, not formally in yet, but nonetheless marching towards it, took the time to register to file his papers in Arkansas last week to some media attention. He's aiming at Super Tuesday, so-called, in or the first week of March, which will be after all of the early contests we've been talking about. But many, many states on that day, I believe, including Texas and California, there'll be big, a big number of delegates at stake. So it looks like Bloomberg is getting in, and the best sign maybe that he is going to get in, Kim, is that he backtracked now and issued his regrets for his policy during 12 years of mayor as stop and frisk, which was the policy of approaching people, police approaching people who they suspected may have a reasonable suspicion of having a firearm. You could check to see if they in fact did. Highly controversial on the political left, and always defended by Mike Bloomberg in office. But now he says he actually should have ended it much sooner than he did.
Yeah, this is discouraging to me. I mean, I agree with you that this is probably a reason to believe that he is going to jump into the race. When you start apologizing to the Democratic electorate for things you have done in the past, it usually is a sign that you are preparing your pathway. But, you know, one of the things that I was looking for, really hopeful for in a Bloomberg candidacy, especially we've been talking about this Democratic Party that has shifted so far left, is that he was going to stand up a little bit to the politically correct in his party. And you know, this would have been an excellent opportunity just to point out that stop and frisk policing is useful and it's lawful and that it is helpful in high crime areas. And instead, we have him backtracking already. And that makes me worry about what else he could backtrack on. He, for instance, has been pretty good about speaking truth to power about the Green New Deal, saying we need a sounder energy policy in the country. He's been in favor of charter schools. What else is he going to drop in an attempt to cater to the political left? I think that undermines his candidacy if he does get in.
Yeah, there are always two Mike Bloombergs. You know, one was the guy, I was at the New York Post for some of this, so we followed it very closely. You know, one was the guy that fought crime and saved, as he used to regularly go on radio to defend his stop and frisk, pointing out how many African-American young men were walking around because stop and frisk had taken these guns off the streets. Stop and frisk was one. Zoning laws that were favorable to business was not to keep New York competitive in business. And the charter schools were the biggest things. But, you know, in the Democratic Party orthodoxy, this is hard. But the other side of what Bloomberg was also the big gulp sodas. He's going to regulate that. He's going to go after Orthodox Jewish shops because they insisted on modesty and all sorts of crazy left wing things. So you don't know where he's going to land. The interesting thing is he has tons of money. So however he decides to attack, he may not win, but he may take someone else out. For example, if he goes after Medicare for All and runs all these ads, that could really hurt Elizabeth Warren.
Well, I assume that he changed his mind on stop and frisk fundamentally because he didn't want that to dominate the perception of his candidacy.
Well,
he,
the same way Joe Biden switched on his support for the crime bill, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not allowed to have those positions in today's Democratic Party.
All right. Thank you, Bill. Thank you, Kim. Thank you all for listening. We will be back tomorrow with more on impeachment, no doubt, and other political matters. Thanks for listening.